everyone for coming, and thank Rav Willig for coming out tonight. Obviously, the Chabura, as previously announced, is to merit a Refuah Shlema for Rav Neuberger, and I thank Rav Willig for that effort, and I thank Morty Rothberg for sponsoring the food outside. You can feel free to pick up some food in the hallway if you get hungry and need a break.
So really a very special schus for me to participate in this shia this evening. You know, sometimes, I don't think this is the case, but sometimes individuals in a particular community who are blessed with a very, very special rov, sometimes don't fully appreciate it. It happens. I guess it happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. It can happen to very great people. Yom Mor Dasa, Rav Neuberger Shalita, should have a Refuah Shlema B'Mehera. Is such a special person, and special in his learning, and his Yerushalayim, and his Avas HaTorah, and his Avas HaBrius. There's not the time to go into lengthy descriptions, as you are, Baruch Hashem, privileged to experience this on a regular basis. That's my feeling, I'm sure it's yours, that this very, very unusual, almost unique level of leadership that you are experiencing here in this community will continue for many, many years to come, and that the people in the Kehillah should have the wisdom and the understanding to recognize and realize that you're privileged to have such a choshev rov, and that if you have this appreciation, then you will give the rov extra chizuk that he needs now, and it's a difficult time from the medical perspective. But you know, Chazal have taught us that the doctors agree. Medical recoveries are not purely medical and scientific, and it was in laboratories. It also has to do with a frame of mind, etc. So having such wonderful balabatim such as yourselves, I'm sure will be a significant value in Rav Neuberger Shlita's recovery, for which we pray b'mehera very quickly. With this introduction, I will give you a second introduction, which is that when I was contacted by the sponsor to give the shiur, I jumped at the opportunity, especially told me for Shalema. I say no. But aside from that, I see so many familiar faces here, Talmidim. I see my Mechutin Shlita is here, leading the team of cardiologists that are davening for the Refuah Shalema, but also through the Schus of Liman HaTorah. And I was told that the Rav Shalita had just begun the Perek of Bensoro Moro with the Chabura here. So I said, well, I will talk on the first Amud of Bensoro Moro, on the bottom of a Tosfos, a long Tosfos, and we'll speak about a particular topic called the topic of Ger Kotten. I checked with the Rav and he said it's okay. I didn't want to say anything without his permission. And with this introduction, I'm ready to begin to learn with you a very interesting topic. Tosfos here in the bottom of Samaches Amud Beis, the bottom of a long Tosfos. It's the second wide line. Very wide line. V'im tel mehech nizgaya. We're talking about a particular cotton. Ki amina nami de cotton is the zechiyah midorais hanami de Yisrael. Aval akum, there's no zechiyah. So the second teretz is, we're talking about a ger kotten in general terms. The line begins with miu kosha. Ksuba siralov, ger kotten as bilan so adas bezdin. And you're a full ger, and get married to a Jewish woman. Don't think it's yesh koach lakodavim in a Torah. That's only b'sheva al-tasa. By the way, Tosin kisubis on that daf, it's stuck with this kasha, and they're forced to resort to the answer of Yesh Koch Lakadov Manatar Bakum Vase, which we don't really pass like the the Peshuto and the Gemara. But they guess they're stuck. There's no alternative. The Tosis is stuck here as well, but they give a teretz. The nearer the Zechia, the Geras, the Adama, the Shah Zechias. The Zechia here is different than all other Zechias. But before we read the Tosis over here in Masechta Sanhedrin, which we will get to, I'd like to discuss with you other approaches. You know, this approach will be the primarily we'll discuss with you two additional approaches over and above that of Tosos over here in Masechta Sanhedrin. It's important to know, and these things, by the way, although it's primarily a theoretical analysis of how Ger Katan works, there is a, we shall see, a practical outgrowth of this analysis. It's not purely theory. Let's review the problem. The problem is that we have a concept called Zoche L'Adam Shelo B'Fonav, that we know about. And the Gemara in Ksuba Safir Aleph tells us that the basis for Ger Kot Ma'filos V'Adas Bezdin is Zoche L'Adam Shelo B'Fonav. That's Tosis quotes over here on the bottom. It says, they told, say, quote it explicitly. In the Parach Ma'ikamash Matanina, Zoche L'Adam Shelo B'Fonav. And assuming that Zochan Adam for a cotton is only Midirabbanan, as the Gemara says in Masechta Bava Metzia, so we're stuck. How is it possible that a Ger cotton is a Ger Midaraisa? This doesn't add up. It's impossible. One more time. If the Ger cotton is based upon Zochan, and Zochan is the Rabbanan when it comes to a cotton, when it comes to a guy especially, so then we're going to be left stuck. How does the cotton of Ger cotton work? That's a major problem. So we have to analyze, even more basically, how does someone become Jewish? What steps are necessary to enable a person to become Jewish? So, you're probably familiar with the basics. You require a bris milah. For men, you require a bris milah. You also require, for everyone, men and women, we require tevila in a mikvah. You also require, as a regular part of the procedure, kabbalah samitzvahs. And as Masha based on Miglash HaYakayim, you would also require a korban. Okay, let's review again. Mila for men, tevila, kabbalas mitzvahs, and a korban. Okay, this is there's no dispute. The mice, everyone agrees this is what was required in order to become Jewish. Now, this does ask a very basic question. We don't have any korban nowadays. No Beis HaMikdash. If there's no Beis HaMikdash, then how do we become Jewish with conversion nowadays? The Gemara asks that kasha in Masechta Krisus. And the Gemara answers as a pasuk with respect to Gerim called Lidoro Seichem, for all your generations. This pasuk of Lidoro Seichem teaches us it's going to be possible in all generations to convert to Judaism. Now, all generations includes times when there will be no Beis HaMikdash, no possibility of Karbanos. So it must be that even though there are no Karbanos, you can become Jewish without a Karban. What does that mean? It means, well, as long as Karbanos are possible, you have to be a Karban. But if Karbanos become impossible because there's no longer a Beis HaMikdash, then it's part of the Xeris HaKos, we'll call it, of the Doro Seichem, that a person can become a Jew without bringing a korban. Fine. Keep that in mind. What's very, very critical for us to understand is what is a Maisa Geirus? And it sounds like a strange question. We just listed all the things you have to do. Not necessarily is everything you have to do an integral part of what we call the Maisa Geirus. What is a Maisa Geirus? So, the Pashtus is that Tosfos understands that the Mais Ageirus is Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. If the Mais Ageirus is Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, then we have a big problem. Because someone who was under the age of 12 or 13, especially if someone's under the age of 1, Ger Katan can happen at a very young age. As a matter of fact, almost all Ger Katans that happen today are in the context of adoption. Adoptions, usually the conversions are done very, very young. That child is being adopted and converted has no clue what's going on. So you're absolutely missing the principle of Kabbalah's mitzvahs. Kabbalah's mitzvahs. So the question then becomes, how does this happen? The answer seems to be Zochan la'adam shalo b'fanav. Normally, it is the person himself who converts who's mekabel the mitzvahs. Now, instead of the person himself being, quote, mekabel mitzvahs, the bezin, as it were, is mekabel mitzvahs for the individual. I repeat again. The bezin is mekabel mitzvahs for the person, for the youngster. To what, under what principle? Zochin la'adam shelo b'fanav. Okay? Zochin la'adam shelo b'fanav. That's why the Gemara says, it's quoted here, the next to the last line of the Tosas here, the big Tosas we're learning now. Suba Safir Aleph. Higdilu yecholin limchos. What do you mean, higdilu yecholin limchos? When the child reaches the age of 13 and says, I don't want any part of it, you can undo the conversion. How is that possible? Very simple. It's comparable to a typical situation of Zochel Adam Shelo B'Fanav. In the Sechta of Baba Basra, we learn, what if someone does me a favor and Reuven wants to give me something, I'm not around, so this friend of mine picks up the object on my behalf. Wow, he's doing such a big favor. He brings it to me 3 days later and says, look, I got this for you 3 days ago from Reuven. You weren't around. It's yours for the last 3 days. I say, I don't want it. Thanks, but no thanks. I don't want it. Says the Gemara Baba Basra, Tzavach mitchila v'atzof. From the beginning, the first moment I hear about it, until the end I say, no, no, no. It's not effective. The gift is not mine. What happened to the principle of Zachon la'adam shalom b'fanav? So the pasha to answer is that Zachon la'adam shalom b'fanav means that we don't know what you really want. We assume you probably want a gift. Most people like gifts. Right? Since most people like gifts, so somebody is doing me a favor. He's picking it up for me. He's expressing my consent on my behalf, which we assume to be true, unless and until I say explicitly, no, you pegged me wrong. You assumed that I wanted it. I didn't want it, and I don't want it, and goodbye. That's what happens over here. Higdilu, yicholim limchos. Thank you, Bezdin. You assumed that I really wanted to become Jewish. Well, now I'm telling you, I don't want to. I don't want to. This is a simple pshat. Tosfos learns in Masechta Ksubos, and if you hold that way, you have a really, really big problem. If this concept of zochin, which seems to be the operative principle, may only be the rabbonim, they may have to resort, in fact, to yesh koach lakadav even mekum ba'asei. That's a Tosfos and Ksubos. Tosfos and Sanhedrin has a totally different response, and we're going to see soon as we read it. That it's a remarkable perspective. Let's read it together. To schiro the geiris to adamah the shas schios. The mashe bezin matzvilin also. The line begins now with the word enam. It's the last seven lines. Enam zochen bavuro. No, it's not the same. Elohu zoche ba'atzmo uvgufo. What does that mean? Normally, zochen means I pick it up for you. You pick it up for me. But who is going into the mikveh for the child? The child himself is going into the mikveh. Ben's not going into the mikveh. The child himself goes into the mikveh. So the child himself is performing what has to be performed. Going into the mikveh would be a passive act. I'm going to throw me into the mikveh. It's good enough. So the child is dropped into the mikveh, you know, they hold on to him, they take him out. So he himself went into the mikveh. The bris milah, he underwent the surgery of sukkah circumcision. It happened to him, begufo. Let's go slow. What about in ksubis? What do you mean, zoch l'adam? So the Tosfos is a new approach in the next line. The imhoysa chovoso, had it been considered bad for him to become Jewish, Lohoyo lebezdin lehismatseya. Bezdin shouldn't have gotten involved, like Russian emsa. He got in the middle of it. Lahachnis gufa bedavar sheyesh lo chova. means that Baz in the water really shouldn't have gotten involved if it's bad for him. If it's bad for him. Wouldn't have gotten involved. And the last line says, Mo'alo milo tvila shel katnas shahoysa begufa v'yein chaseir mele kabbalas mitzvahs. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Mila doesn't require wisdom. When you had your mila, you didn't think about it either. It happens. Got done. Tvila can happen also, just a physical thing. But what about kabbalas mitzvahs? Says Tosis, an amazing chiddush. Umitoch, the last six words. Umitoch shegodlu velo michu hainu kabbala. Whoa. This is contra to the Tosis and Ksubas and elsewhere. Tosis and Ksubas assumes it was a kabbala when the child was young. Where was it? The Bezdin did it for him. Tosis here says that's not the case. No. The Mila he did himself. The Tefillah he did himself. The Kabbalah comes at age 13. Wow. Comes at age 13? Problem. If that's the case, he shouldn't be considered Jewish until he hits the age of 13. But the whole Gemara and Ksubas, for those who learned the Gemara and Ksubas, the Gemara and Ksubas is commenting on the Mishnah of various chiyuvim to an individual who's less than the age of 13, who's a ger kotna or gioras katana. It's clear in the Gemara, without a shadow of it, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the person is considered Jewish before the age of 13. Based upon Tosis, it shouldn't be that way. It's a very good kash. One more time. If indeed the Kabbalah only takes place at age 13, so how is it possible that we're going to treat the child as being Jewish before the age of 13? He's missing Kabbalah and mitzvahs. Many hands have gone up. I'm happy to take your suggestions.
Why can't you assume that Kabbalah is just like a Kabbalah?
Wah. Very good. Very good. The Shita Yeshana in Masechta Ksubas, and I quote, the Af al gav did tzarech Kabbalah, hani mili hecha de efshar, avo bekotan lo efshar. So Chanan said, Psham Amish is calling it Tosis the Shita Yeshana. That's exactly what it says over here. That since, there always has to be a possibility of Geiris. We said before, if there's no Beis HaMikdash, so we dispense with the need for a Korban. Well, if it's before 13, we'll dispense with the need to have Kabbalah, because there cannot be a Kabbalah before 13. That's amazing. Where do we find a similar concept? I asked you to see a Tosis in Masechta Kiddushin just for a minute, just to give you an analog. You shouldn't think that it's only this one particular case that we have in Shas and Krisus. If you don't have a korban, no have a mikdash, you can do without a korban. No. Tosis extrapolates on this concept for a matter which, by the way, relates to the very beginning of Masechta Sanhedrin. I'm not sure if you learned Kirov, the beginning of the Masechta, at the beginning. Yeah, I did learn that. So you remember the concept of smicha. Yeah, and to be considered a bez, you have to have, I don't mean a wayu smicha. I mean a smicha, ishri pi ish, ad moshe rabbeinu, which we don't have nowadays. The Tosis is bothered by the kasha. How do we have geris nowadays? How do we have geris nowadays? We have no mumchim, we have no smuchim. They call it the fascinating terrorist, we're from the sanal hager. The beger ksiv ledoro sechem, the masha b'chol inyan. Af al gav she'enon mumchin. Tal korcho pashto leka mumchin, she'en smuchin, uledoro secha mashmo ledoro solom. So you see from the toasting, Masechta the Kiddushin, that they take the concept which is explicit in Shas with respect to a korban, and they extend it to the lack of smicha. So too we can extend it, well it's just even a greater extension, to an under 13 or under 12 boy or girl. Since they cannot have a Kabbalah, we therefore say that you can have Geres without a Kabbalah. Again, no Mikdash we can do without a Korban. No Smuchim we'll do without Smuchim. No possibility of Kabbalah, we'll do without that too. Yes?
The only way you violate the Rotechem is if you couldn't do it without Smuchim or you couldn't do it without Korban. But Katan, right, if you just did it when he was a Gadol, it would be a violation of the Rotechem. So to apply the same...
I agree. I agree it's an extension. I agree, it's an extension. Shaila Rabosai. What'll happen? Let me ask you a question. All the Geirim in this Geir since Churban Abayis, and probably all of us are children of those Geirim by now, right? So just do the arithmetic. So many of us, you know, we have a common generations. Wait a second. Have a base of English. Are we going to have a carbon all over again? What do you say? What's your intuition?
Do they always?
Does everyone have to bring a carbon? Every Geir and child of it? Yeah. The pashtus is that if a person converted bisman hazeh and there'll be a base of migdash, there will not be a need for a new smicha, not because then we'll have the opportunity to bring a carbon, nor will there be a need for new gears because then we'll have the opportunity to convert in front of snuchim, right? We'll still have this nischach smicha when Mashiach's going to come, the old number's going to come. It will not be necessary. However, contrast to that, the 10-year-old or the 10-day-old who undergoes the Geirus process, when he turns 13, what happens? Ah, we just learned. He has to have a Kabbalah. Why? Yeah.
Isn't that like a retroactive acceptance?
Slow. So, Bepashtus, the answer is, that when someone converts at age 1 or 10, Luki fully expected very soon, he's going to turn 13, it's inevitable, as the clock goes by. See, we understand that halach is, when he gets to that age, he's going to have that Kabbalah Samitzvah. When it comes to a person converting Bizman Hazeh, even though we say, Achakalo B'chol Yom Sheyovo, but unfortunately, many Geirim who've come into Aklal Yisrael and have passed away over all these centuries, and we're not going to go around and say, since he passed away, his Geirim is somehow missing something. So that kind of exeris hakosav means is you're missing nothing. Oh, slowly. We're not finished. Just give me a chance to elaborate a little bit more. What happens when he turns 13? Must he have a Kabbalah's mitzvah in front of three people? Oh, the question then becomes, do you require this formal concept? Or don't you require this formal concept? So if there's a macha, a protest, if there's no process, it sounds like it's really good. The question is why? Is that b'fnei bezdin? Tosis says over here, einem chaserim ele kabbalas mitzvahs, umitoch shegidle v'lo michu, hayel kabbalah. Where's the bezdin? Did they actually convene a bezdin of three? That's my problem. So I want to make the following suggestion. This is my suggestion, okay? Think about it. I asked you to see a Tosis in Masechta Yevamos. I don't know if any of you saw it. Mem Hei Amud Beis. Mem Hei Amud Beis, the last Tosis. The Tosis discusses the possibility that if a woman is keeping Taras HaMishpacha, that this Tevila should work for a Tevila's Geirus. How can it be? The Yesh Mefarshim, the Kevan the Yadua Lakol Shetavla, Ki Ilu Omdim Shom Domi. There's no Bezdin that's watching when she goes to the Mikvah Bitaras Nidusa. Doesn't matter. Since she's a frum woman, everyone knows that a frum woman, and normally at that time of her life, is going to the Mikvah proxy once a month. Everybody knows she's going. This is as if they're standing there. What does that mean? You don't need a mice of Geirus in front of Bezdin. It's enough that Bezdin knows. So here too, if the Bezdin knows that this child, when he turned 13, is maintaining a firm lifestyle, this suffices. No need for a formal Kabbalah, Bifnei Bezdin, just as there's no need for a formal Tvila Bifnei Bezdin, in the sugi here of Milo Tovla, Linidusa. With this we can answer the question of that Tosfos asks over here. Miyukasha, the tefillas need a balayla, and there's no ger. You can't be matzah leger balayla. What's going on? You can't have ger. There's no bezna balayla. There's no geris balayla. This tefillas nida is balayla. The answer is as follows. It's not necessarily a Maisa Bezdin. All you require is that Bezdin knows that she is in fact undergoing this process. And the knowledge of the Bezdin is a knowledge which is permanent, daytime, nighttime, and therefore there's no need for Bayom, there's no need for a formal Maisa Bezdin in this regard. This is at the Tosis Yesh Mefarshim and Yevamis, and I believe a similar line has to be understood, the Tosis of the last six words on Nafsam HaChesed Bezdin here in Sanhedrin, along those lines as well. Yes?
Rabbi, Tosfos holds though that the Maisa Geirus is the Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos, maybe you can't rely on the proof.
Right. That's correct. Perhaps we have no right to assume that Tevila is one way, Maisa Bezdin may be another way, in either direction. Tevila this way, and Kabbalah is another way. It's a matter, it's a big dispute among the Mefarshim. What is the quote unquote critical Maisa Bezdin? Is it, for example, what needs three? Leave out lumdus, practicality. What needs three? Do you need tefillah in front of three? Do you need Kabbalah's mitzvah in front of three? These are all issues which are brought up in Hilchos Geirus and Shulchan Aruch. You are right. We can't make any absolute comparisons, just general comparisons. Correct. Yes?
What's the difference between the tefillah where
okay, that's true. That's true. To answer, to go back to Michael's point, the Rosh that I ask you to see in the Sechta Yevamis, it's in Perek Dalet Simen Lamed Aleph. Anyone wants to give a quick look, if you have it. But I'll read it to you. It's a short citation. Fairly short citation. But you see how he hones in literally on your point. The Rosh asks the Kasha, Miuk Tfilas Dinas Balayla. Okay. So the Tiras Rabbeinu Meir is out. You only need Yom for Guf Hadavar Shetzarech Shlosha. Avalo Lizman HaTvila. He distinguishes between what he calls the Guf Hadavar. What's Guf Hadavar? What is Guf Hadavar? What is it? Hold on. We'll see soon. Inami. Kabbalas mitzvah havi ketchilas din. Utvila havi kegmar din. I don't know if you learned Sanhedrin with Rabbi Neuberger. The havi afila balayla. The Gemara says, donim bayom vigomrim balayla. Wow. Donim bayom vigomrim balayla. It's a gmar din. What does that mean? This corresponds to the first teretz in that same Tosfos in Yevamos, where they say beferish, the lo be'inon shlosha, right? Haynu the kabbalas ha-mitzvahs, avalo le'tvila. The Tosfos is clear. This is the Tosfos l'shitasam, that the main Tosfos in Ksubas, it's like the Tosfos in Ksubas, that the main part of Geirus, the main Maisa Geirus, if you will, is the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs. It's the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs that requires three. It's the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs that has to be by day. It's the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs which is always required, and for which reason you must say Zoche LaAdam Shelo Bifanov. Ika Maisa Geirus. Interestingly, what will happen when it comes to a Ger Katan? What about a Ger Katan, Rabbi Osai? What about a Ger Katan? Comes the Dava Meravava and says that if Tosis is correct, that the Iker is Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, and that requires three, and that requires day, but not the Tvila, says the Dava Meravava, when it comes to a Ger Katan, where there is no Kabbalas HaMitzvahs, then the Tvila will require three, and the Tvila will require daytime. So writes the Dava Meravava. What do you think about that, Rabbi Osai? What do you think? Not so simple. Called our Tosis here in Sanhedrin, it's completely correct. Because our Tosis in Sanhedrin is saying, a Kabbalah Smith will live without the Dorah Secha, whatever the reason. So then what's the, obviously the Iker is what? Is the Tvila. So the Tvila has to be by day and in front of three people. But according to Tosis in Ksubis, the way I started this year, what did Tosis in Ksubis hold? There is a Kabbalah Smith. Where is it? Who did it? Bezdin. So the same way the Kabbalas HaMitzvahs is the Iker in a standard Geirus, Kabbalas HaMitzvahs will even be the Iker in the Ger Katan, according to Tosfos in Ksubas. Where is it? The Bezdin did it for the child. So what the Dogon Meravava says, it's pasha to him, that if it comes to a Ger Katan, you do require a Tvila b'fnei shlosha b'yom, because there's no Kabbalah Samitzis, that fits in well with the Tosas here in Sanhedrin. But now the Tosas in Ksubis. Because Tosas in Ksubis who says that the point of Geirus is a Zoch Kipshuto. Tosas here in Sanhedrin is a Chiddush Nifla, that they took the Gemara of Zoch and Adam and Shalom Afanav and they said, don't take it literally. All it means is, if it would not be a Tzchus, you wouldn't get involved. But everyone else except for our Tosas seems to take it literally. It's based upon Zochan la'odam shalom b'fonav. So Bezdin is doing the Kabbalah Samitzvahs on behalf of the Kotten. So there is a Kabbalah Samitzvahs that does take place by day in front of three, and therefore the Tvila can be done by night against the Dogon Meravava. So what the Dogon Meravava says, I repeat one more time, that everyone should agree when it comes to a Ger Kotten, that the Tvila has to take place by day in front of three, is not necessarily so. According to Atol Sir and Sanhedrin, it is so. According to the Tosas in the Masechta Ksubis, presumably, it would not be so. It would not be so. Oh. Yes, I'm sorry.
According to Tosas here, what is the
Iker?
Because tell me that
the Ksubis, you said, Tosas in Ksubis holds the Iker is the Kabbalah Samitzvahs.
And what is the Tosas here say?
Presumably, if the Dogon Meravava is correct, the Iker is the Tvila. That's the main part of the indispensable part of the Maisa Geiris is the Tevila.
But he says on the bottom that once they're not Mocha as by Kabbalah, then everything works as when they were cut. Meaning the Kabbalah is the Iker again, and that reflects back.
I don't believe so. I believe the Kabbalah is working from the point when it turns 13. When it turns 13, you have to have a Kabbalah, because now Kabbalah is possible. If Kabbalah is possible, it becomes mandatory. And until 13 he was Jewish, as you said before, I'm quoting you, the Shita Yeshana said, you Mechavad, the Shita Yeshana, that because Kabbalah is impossible, you can do without it. Oh, you can do without it, but it has, so what's the Geirus consisting of right now? Kuntos, because you're not doing without it, you have it. You have it to Zach on the other. But Kuntos, you see, you don't have it. So what is the Geirus? It must be the Tvila. Then it has to be by day. Zach on the other, front of three. But if you're like our Tosfos, right, that's our Tosfos. Holocaust and service, you do have a Kabbalah to Zochalon Shlomo Fonav, and that takes place by day, so the Tzvila can be by night, even for a Ger Katan.
Even though it was involuntary.
Right? Right. Now, hold on. I have, I'm on schedule. Yes, sir. That doesn't, I don't read, that's not how I read the words. The words, as I read them, let's read it one more time together. Read it one more time. The last half a line. The ein chaserim el kabbalah. That's something that's missing. Umitov shagad of lomicha and a kabbalah. According to what you're saying, it's not missing. It's there. It's just sort of suspended. The way I'm saying, it's mamish missing.
But if you look 7-8 words earlier.
Yes. That's exactly what we're saying. The molu milu tefila shel katnas shai sabeguf. It's enough. We asked before. Where's the Kabbalah? Later. But he's a cotton. He's already a cotton. He's already a ger cotton. The katnusa. That's your teretz. It was impossible. Don't nag on your teretz. It's a good teretz. That's the pshat.
I mean, I'm trying to be.
Don't be a lawyer on both sides. I like your first verse. I like your first verse. That's it. I read it before from Shita Yeshan. I read it again. Finished. Okay, let's leave it at that for the moment.
According to the Hezra that you're presenting there, it's no Kabbalah at all until it becomes.
That's correct.
Then shouldn't he be required to do a full Kabbalah?
We asked that question already. And our answer was, the Chiddush, our answer was that Kabbalah sometimes, just as Tvila, again, Michael made the point that the different Rishonim say about different things. According to our Tosfos, the Iker is a Tvila, so about the Kabbalah, you don't need a formal Bezin. According to Tosfos and Yevamos, the other way around. The Iker is the Kabbalah, and the Tvila doesn't have to be in front of the Bezin, formally. Adarabah, you understand what I'm telling you? The main thing, one of the definitions of the main thing has to be in front of Bezin. Vayom, but it's in front of three. And the fact that it does not have to indicates it's not the main thing. Right? So according to Tosus over here, the Kabbalah is not the main thing. According to Tosus Nivamas, the Tefillah is not the main thing. Whatever's not the main thing, it's another stuff that they know about it. That's my answer. Okay. I'm on schedule, but I'm not ahead of schedule. So let me get to the next point. The Rajba that I asked you to see here in the Shita Mekubetes has the following fascinating line. I'm going to read it to you. Listen very carefully. The Gemara says, "Gdil yicholim limchos." When they turn 13, they can protest. They can't protest. So the question is when? What split second are you protesting? So he quotes Tosis. The ad shemodiyin osa matan tzchoron v'onshon shol mitzvahs eina giyores gemura. Here? V'higdila shoh achas b'geirusa achar shehodiyua onshon shol mitzvahs koma. Not the pshat at age 13 you become automatically fully Jewish. We have to tell you the mitzvahs and you have to accept them. This sounds like our Tosfos in Sanhedrin. That there has to be a formal Kabbalah. I think I scratched the word formal. There has to be a Kabbalah after the age of 13. You know what's happening. Let's listen to the next punchline. The last line. Ulefi divrayim, the Rajma is saying. According to this Tosfos, Srichin lahodio li'achar sheyagdil, end quote. You must inform this child after he turns 13 that in fact he is a ger, and it's his to either accept or reject. Push it that way. Call it Atos and Sanhedrin. You need a Kabbalah after age 13. Since Kabbalah is possible, Kabbalah is necessary. I repeat again. Since Kabbalah is possible, Kabbalah is necessary. That's what it says over here. It's not a gerus gemura until then. Okay. But, slowly. According to Tosin Subis, that we say Zochel La'odim Shalom B'fonav, that there's a bezdin literally that's in Mekabal Mitzvah Nizbeach. Is he a Ger Gomer or is he not a Ger Gomer? Absolutely Ger Gomer. Question: do you have to tell him? I believe the Rav was once asked this question many years ago. You know, today, all children who are adopted, they wear it on their sleeve. They tell you right away, I'm adopted, and it's all. If you know what's going on in the schools today, it's amazing. Yeah. But when I was growing up, and even a little more than the years before me, it was shashtil. Mom is shashtil. No one knew about it. And many times, the child himself or herself also didn't know about it. There are people who went to their graves and never knew that they were adopted and they weren't biological parents of their quote parents. That was the reigning, school of the psychologist at that time. Don't tell him, it's going to be harmful, it's going to be injurious. He never knows his whole life, it's better. You know, those in the old days, no one knew anything about anything. Today, with everything so out in the open, you can't get away with that if you tried. But aside from that, now that they've turned 180, you know, maybe they'll turn back. Huh? Someone came to the Rav, so I was told, that's the Fasher Rebbe, my child does not know that he is adopted. Right? When he was born, we did a milah, we did a tefillah, and we brought him up, you know, from, and everything's right, and he thinks he's our child. Must we tell him that he's an adopted child? We learned somewhere in Ksubas, Higdil Yecholim Limchos, must we tell him? My response is, it depends which Torah you hold like. If you hold like Torah in Sanhedrin, Avadi, you have to tell him. It's Sobe Ferish. That's the Rashba. If you hold like Torah in Ksubas, I think it's probably a more prevalent, common shita within the Rishonim, I don't think you have to tell him. I don't think you have to tell him. They don't have to tell him anything. Not only that, I believe I have a right from Rav Moshe like me. Rav Moshe is a tshuva about this. It's an Igros Moshe, Yoradei Chelek Aleph Simen, Kuf Samach Beis. And I quote, V'lomar shenismoch shelo yisvada me'ol le'olam, to rely upon the fact that they'll never know about it, which will be okay, apparently. Lo mistaber klal, de harbe ofanem mizdamein Shemizvadim. What's the Moshe saying? You're taking a chance. If you tell him at age 13, worst case scenario, at age 13, he'll say, no, he's out of it. Okay. You'll tell him at age 50, or he'll find out at age 50, you're going to die, he's going to be 50 years old. So look, rummaging through the papers, and he'll see that he's an adopted child. Say, I don't want any part of this. I'm out of here. Leaving a wife and his kids. Huh? I wonder if it's a woman. Leaving a wife and kids are going to be goyish kids in retrospect. Oh, you're playing, the stakes are too high, says Rav Moshe. But if you want to be a riverboat gambler and play with high stakes, you get away with it. Rav Moshe, I think the Rav said the same thing. The Rav, because they were going with the Mahalach of Tos and Ksumis. And the same thing would apply in the case of Zochin. Right? Zochin, if you look at Ksumis in the Gemara in Gittin, the end of the first parak. What will happen if Reuven accepts a gift on behalf of Shimon? So what do we say? If Shimon accepts at the end, we say it was Shimon's retroactively. That's what he wanted. If Shimon screams, I don't want it, it's never his. What if Shimon died? Reuven picked up the gift on Monday for Shimon, and Shimon died on Tuesday. When Reuven came to Shimon on Wednesday, he comes to the Levi. Who owns it? Shimon's children, who got it from Shimon Birusha, maybe the original Nosein. So the Gemara in Gittin, as I recall correct, it's a complicated Gemara, indicates, I believe, that it belongs to Shimon's Yosha, which it fits with this. Higdili Yechol and Limchos, it's assumed that you do want it, unless you protest. Never, the guy said he can't protest anymore. So we have to follow the majority, probably wanted it. Same thing with Geirus. You can protest it, but if you never hear about it, we assume it's a good thing to be Jewish, you probably wanted it, and therefore it's valid. Yes?
Why do we assume that most going want to be Jews?
Very good question. That's a great question. The Gemara talks about that in Ksuba Sefer Avos. It says as follows. Most goyim that you know probably wouldn't want to be Jewish. You know why? They got used to their lifestyle. That's the Gemara Beferish. Avda Befker and Ichale. But if from the earliest age, before 13 or 12, and certainly before 1, they get used to a Jewish lifestyle, they're going to understand a Torah lifestyle, they're going to appreciate how great it is. We don't like it, as the recent people that have Rav Moshe himself said it. Don't say Chalila as a Shver to Zainayid. Say the whole generation was turned off at that. As a Ziz to Zainayid. It's sweet to be Jewish. You bring up a child with that mindset, he's going to, that's the best thing in the world. Yeah.
Under this theory that you don't tell him when he finds out when he's 40 or 50, or she finds out when she's 40 or 50, she can just
opt out. That's correct. Two chances, you know? But in the olden years, when they didn't tell anybody, that was the chance they took. Her Moshe discouraged taking a chance. The Rav probably also was a little bit worried, but the woman insisted. He said, oh, the man, you're allowed, technically speaking, it's okay. Yes?
According to our Tosis, is there a gap?
No gap. I don't think there's a gap. I mean, even a few seconds. I mean, when you turn 13, good question. You got to tell him at age 13, so you got to accept it right away. I would say, according to our Tosis, you should start telling him before he turns 13. And then, you know, and the minute he turns 13, he says, yes. That's make a big bar mitzvah party. He wants a bar mitzvah party. I read the Wall Street Journal. Goyim want bar mitzvah parties. As the Ziz is on a year. You see it? Even the Goyim do understand it. You see?
Once he accepts it, he's in the party.
They want the bar, not the mitzvah. Yeah, yeah. That's the problem. It's more bar than mitzvah. That's the... No. Once you accept it, you're stuck for life.
Can you go back?
What a very good question. Once you reject it, can you go back? The pashta says no. There's a point of choice. You know, you have to take it or leave it at that point in time. Pashas, you can't, at the pashas, you can't go back. Yes?
According to what we said in the Rush, the fact that he, at 13, even though he didn't know, he's acting like a Jew, isn't that raya enough that if he wants to be Jewish, and you don't have to tell him?
That is not simple. I didn't say that. I said that, but we read before that the fact that he conducts himself as a Jew is considered to be a Kabbalah. But the Rush did not discuss the question whether he knows about it or doesn't know about it. So I don't want to make too many inferences. Again, if the Rush held like Tosfos in Masechta Ksubis, you'd be right. The Pasha doesn't have to know about it. If he held like Tosfos in Sanhedrin, he would have to know about it. Yeah. In my view, there's no need to go through have a formal Kabbalah. If you'd have to have a former Kabbalah, you'd have to go to Bezdin with a former Kabbalah. I never heard in my life of a situation where they're going to require a formal Kabbalah and a Bezdin for a Bar Mitzvah Bechor who was a Ger. We've dealt with Ger. You have to tell him certain things, but there's no need for a formal Kabbalah in Bezdin. Now I have my last point, which is, yes.
Presumably you have to come, he has a choice also.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Okay.
So Rav is like Rav Moshe?
I believe so. Rav is like Rav Moshe. There's a very big question on this Lashon of the Gemara of Ger Kot Matvilen also Al Das Bezdin. You can ask the question. It's an obvious question. It's a linguistic question almost. Ger Kotan, the Gemara says, Matvilen also Al Das Bezdin. Ask me a question. Well, maybe the child, not Bill also, but ask me a Palapatish question. It's not.
Is it the Bezdin or just that they know about it?
No.
It's not the
Well, that's what some say. But that you're pointing out a very important question, Elliot. That's why Matbilin? Everyone agrees, even if you take away the Kabbalah Semitzis part, which may be secondary or separate, but you certainly need what? Besides Tefillah, what else do you need? Mila. So the Shita Mekubetzis and Ksubas has the Kasha. Why are you saying Tefillah, famous Kasha? Hikshu Mefarshim. Amai Nokat Matvilin. V'nolok lo Nokat Kama Molin. Oh, very good, Teres. Tiras Rashba. The Milsa, the Shaykhab is Karam, and the Kavis Nokat. We call it a Balabatash Akasha. What about the Balabatash Teretz? That's the first one. That's easy. Good. That's easy. One second. Correct. Okay. Hold on. We'll come to that. Oh, Teretz. Mishim Tvila Gumar Malachto. What does that mean? Kidakaimalan. Mobile Otova Kilomol. Therefore, Nokat Matvilin. What does that mean? That means, Bepashtus, that the Tvila is the final Maka Bepatish. So we say Matvilin. Before we analyze, one more Teretz. Oh, Teretz. Listen carefully to the, in effect, this would be the third Teretz. To the Revusa Nokat Tvila. It's a big chiddush. Should the mila dinu shetalov sheyagdol v'yisrate? Why? Listen to this word. The yeshna ba'olam b'shas ritzono. The result of the mila is still on his body. That os bris kodesh is still there. Years later, avol tvila the b'shat alohaya bendas uveshash in yisrate ain ba'olam. You were in the water, out of the water. You're not wet anymore. Dried off. Aim a low. Kaven shigerusa mesupach. Shereyachol limchos. Kshiyagdil. Kamash malon. Wow. Kamash malon. What does he say? He's like this, Rabbi Osai. The Rashi was going with the Shita of Tosis here in the Shita Mekubetzes. You're not a ger gomer until you're Mekabel the Mitzvah, like I told us in Sanhedrin. So you might have said as follows. You might have said, wait a minute, that tefillah is not going to work. Tefillah has to be the Makam Apatish. So a typical ger, I don't know if you've ever seen a geris. You do the mila, then you discuss in Kabbalah some mitzvahs, then you bring him into the water, boom, at that moment in time, he's already had the mila, he's already had the Kabbalah, and he has the tefillah, he's a full Jew. At that moment, he comes out of the water. But this guy comes out of the water as a child, so he's not Jewish fully yet. Again, Kortos in Sanhedrin, we're talking. Kortos in Ksubis, he is a fully Jew. Here the Rashi is going to the Tosfos in Sanhedrin. He's not fully Jewish yet. So you might have thought that the Tevila is ineffective. Maybe go to Mikvah again at age 13. Do you require a bris 13? No. The bris is still on him. But the Tevila is not on him anymore. Kamash Malan. What's the Kamash Malan? What's the Kamash Malan? Again, this Havim is only Kortos and Sanhedrin. What's the Kamash Malan? One of two ways. Either you say that although when it comes to Kinyonim, The kinyan has to be extant in order for it to be effective later on. If I sell you a house with a shtar, effective next month, and the shtar burns up before next month, it rips up, the Gemara says, you're not calling it. So here too, the tefillah burned up. No, but it's not a kinyan. Gera is not a kinyan. Don't make it into monetary stuff. That's one pshat. Or we can say the following vort. The reason why it's not a problem, because at the moment that he went to the mikveh at age 2, there was no need for Kabbalah's mitzvahs. It's not the same as our case of a kinyan. A kinyan, you're missing something and it's going to happen later on. Here, at the time you weren't missing it. So it wasn't considered to be in the category of kolsa. Now, fourth and final teres to this question. I'm going to end with this discussion. Last teres to this kasha of why is it not bilin and doesn't say mother. We'll do this with Embashir. The Yesha, the Lahaki Nokat Tvila, Shem the Chashiva Zuchus Gomur. What's going back on swimming? Avomila, Kevin Shem Itztaer, hurts, bleeds. Lo Chashiva Zuchus, Velo Shayach Pelememer Al Das Bezin. That's by Tvila only, not Abila. So the question is, it's an obvious question. How does it work? Meal, kevin the kvar mal, afilu have ye chovaso, kvar yotze yede mila. Veshuv kishiat bilu, have le schus v'nigmar malachto al das bezn shaper. Wow. What do you say? We always equate meal and tefila, you know, for a male. Female, of course, doesn't require meal. Meal and tefila, put them in the same breath. Not true. They're fundamentally, conceptually different, according to this mahalach. Thing as follows, Rabosai. We spoke earlier, the Machlokas Tosin Subis and Tosin Sanhedrin. Do you require the Das Geiris or don't you require Das Geiris? Quantos in Subis, you require Das Geiris, but Zochel on Shlomo Fadav. Quantos in Sanhedrin, you don't need Das Geiris because the meal and tefillah are done on his body. And the Kabbalah comes later. We already spoke about the two conflicting opinions, the two extremes. Tosin Subis versus Tosis in Sanhedrin. Okay. The Shita Mekubetz has a compromise. Tevila requires Das Geiris. And it works with the principle of Zochin. Mila does not require Das Geiris. It's not a schus. The male understand Matvila and Al Das Bezdin. Because only the Tevila works through Zochin La Adam Shalom B'Fanav. Again, according to Tosis here in Sanhedrin, nothing works Mishim Zochin. That's the Chiddush. Zochin just means, otherwise you wouldn't have gotten involved. But if you ask a real technical question, rigorous question, what's working through Zochin? Quote the Atos in Sanhedrin, nothing. Mila and Tefillah on his body, Kabbalah's later. Quote the Atos in Ksuvis, what works through Zochin? Everything. Mila, Tefillah, is all Zochin. Kabbalah, everything is Zochin. It works. Quote the Atos is the quote of this day in the Shittim Mekubetz, we split. The Tefillah works through Zochin. And that's what the Gemara says, Matvilin. The Mila does not, is not a schus. Can't work through Zochin. So of course the question becomes, so what's the pshat and how does it really work over here? So here's the famous Lom de Shavart, which we'll end with the Shir. Then of course I'll take questions if you have any. Which is as follows. This is what's, you can find it in, for example, in on this Sugin Yevamos, where Rabbi Yosef Engel has it, and the Rav used to speak about it a little bit, like this. Clearly, tevila is the ma'aseh geiris. It's required for women, required for men. But the lom de shashayla is, what is mila? Is mila also a ma'aseh geiris? Or perhaps no, listen to this one now. Tevila is a positive ma'aseh geiris. Mila is not. All you need mila for is to remove a ma'akev. The oral is a ma'akev and the geiris. So you require a mila to remove the, what's called hasara samanei of the orlus. If that's the case, Rabbo, so we understand very well. Mila does not require, mila is not a schus, doesn't require zochel adam, all it requires a kosher moel. He did it, you like it, you didn't like it, he did it, it's done. This could be extremely relevant in the following case. Let's
say the mila was on the hospital.
The hospital, you mean by whom? Who did it? A doctor is a problem because we don't know who the doctor may have been. A goy may not be good. I have a different case. Different case. Different case. Many individuals had bris milas at age 8 days old, and the thinking at that time was that they were Jewish. And the mother had converted, etc., etc. Turns out later that the mother's conversion was shvacha maisis. We know all these things. And since we're talking about, well, it's not my topic really, we're talking about geirus, about conversions. To my mind, you have to worry about all conversions, even by Orthodox rabbis. Because there are many Orthodox rabbis who do conversions under pressure from the Baal HaBatin, who are desirous of having a ger, why? For the sake of marriage. Because someone in the shul president's, I'm talking about in the 50s, huh? The shul president's son wants to marry someone and she wants to convert her, and the rabbi can't say no. So he converts her, but there's no Kabbalah, there's no Shabbos, no Kashrus, nothing. We all know of such circumstances. And even though it's Orthodox, but I don't think that ger is really valid. No Kabbalah or mitzvahs. Even ger katan, by the way, the rabbi used to say, you have to be frum. If you're not frum, then what good? If you're frum and you bring in a convert into Klal Yisrael as a ger katan, gevaldik. But if you're not frum and the kid grows up in Michal Shabbos, maybe he's better off being a goy. The schus to make it to a Michal Shabbos. You'll be a goy. You keep seven mitzvahs. You're a tzaddik. Chassid yom ha'olam. Let's go back to this case. Someone was at a shvacha conversion. They really, really, and turns out, the rabbanim say 20 years later, sorry, mister, your mother's conversion is really questionable. And before you get married, tell to the man, you're going to have to undergo a second conversion. So if it's a girl, just put in the mikvah, she goes to the mikvah, fine. That's traumatic for some different reason. How does a woman go to the mikvah for the presence of men? That's a very delicate situation. That the men should not be accused of being peeping toms, you know. They say it about doctors too, but they say it more about rabbonim. So you have to do it. We are, of course, always in the fishbowl. But it's done in the proper way. I learned this from Melech Shechter Shlita when he was helping me out in cases going back 30 years. And the woman drapes herself in a sheet, goes under the water. All you see is the back of her head. She's back to you. She drapes straight. You see nothing. Literally nothing. Always at the back of her head. And then you discuss with her, you can cover the mitzvahs again, and you reject all of others. Oh, so the basic stuff you go over again while she's up there in the mikvah. And then you say like this, okay, listen, you just, if you're not afraid of a water, it's no problem. When you take a deep breath and go all the way down, and your hair will be totally under the water, and when you hear the door slam, you'll know there are no men in the room, you can come out without any question. So, she goes down, you see her head goes under the water, the sheet usually floats to the top, you see, I'm telling you, see, if she does it slow, you see nothing, you quickly run out, you slam the door, and then she comes up, and then we ask her to go a second time, and we hear the splash. The second time she's going, well, benachas. And some say the splash is that's what we do. So that's a little bit of traumatic for a woman, but for a man, it's much more traumatic. If we're going to require a new, well, maybe a new meal, Hatofas Dam Bris. That's a very serious halachic question. One of the fuller discussions of this question is found in a sefer called the Sefer HaBris, by Pertinsky Shalit. Many, many poskim say that you do not require Hatofas Dam Bris. And of course the question is why? There was no Mila L'Shem Geiris. The Mila was done as an eighth day Mila. They made a bracha ala mila, thought he was Jewish. They didn't make a bracha on milas geiros. What's going on over here? But with this lamdus, it's gevaldik. If you require a mila bekumva say as part of the maisa geiros, the likelihood is no good. But if all the mila is what? It's a hasara samonea, and it was done a shem mitzvah. Wasn't just done by some goy did it. A frumi, he did it. A professional moil. So then, in my opinion, it would work. So I think this last piece of lamdus is very relevant for this situation. And the major thrust of Ashir, the dispute between Tosfos and Sanhedrin and Tosfos and Ksuvos, is extremely relevant. At least it was in the old days, and adopted children weren't told that they were adopted, whether Orthodox parents would have been required to tell them in order to make sure that the Geiris is the proper Geiris. Rabosai, we should be zoche to learn Torah in good health, and your Rav should be zoche to come and lead you to greet Mashiach Tzidkenu, then have your main army.
Mention that also to have kaburas continually.